Welcome to Section 9, where we talk about IT and information security. I'm Damian Hull.
And I'm Dorothy.
And this episode was supposed to be about our VMware server with our new drives that we were supposed to install. And unfortunately, we couldn't do that because we're missing a part. So I am trying to track down the piece that we're missing. And once we get that, we can go back to installing those drives. But while our server is offline, because we haven't put it back in the rack yet, we're waiting for that part. It's going to take about a week to figure out if we can actually even get that. So while we're waiting for that, we need something to do. So I was thinking about things that we can do while we wait for that part to show up. So I decided that we're going to focus on our labs. We're going to come up with a process for that. We're going to look at Visio because we're going to transition from Lucidchart to Visio. And then one of the things I want to focus on is project management. I've got the project management book that we've talked about in the past. I've also got the ITIL certification I want to go back to. And I need to finish those videos sooner than later because I think that company is going to just say, you know what? This guy's not using them. Let's just kick him out. So with our VMware server, there's a lot of things I want to do with that. It's not on my list, but I need to figure out, you know, how are we going to put that back together? And then how are we going to incorporate that into the network again? Because you and I were talking about different things we can do with that in terms of how that's connected to the network. I'm also looking at possibly getting us VMware Essentials so that we have access to vCenter server or vCenter. That's what you would see in a production environment. So while we're waiting for this part to show up, that's also something I'm thinking about doing. It's an extra cost. We have to justify that. But it would give you, especially, another thing that you could put down on your resume to say, hey, I know something about VMware. I know how to use vCenter. So that when you go to that production environment, you can just walk in, open up the vCenter stuff, and start creating VMs. You don't have to think about that because you'll have seen it before. So that's one justification for that. But let's go ahead and jump into our labs. And the idea here is to have some of this stuff figured out so that when our VMware server is back to life again or we plug that back in, we don't have to think about how to put our labs together. You just start doing that. And you can start using it to practice working with Server 2019, Windows 10, creating those domain environments, and then trying to use some of the skills you've learned from your videos to be able to add users to the domain, work with Windows 10, do some admin stuff in there, use some of the tools they talk about in your videos so that you can begin to get some experience. So when you go and take the Windows 10 certification test, it's not going to be that big a deal because you've used all of these things. And what we want to do is again, get those basics down, and you're going to have Windows labs, and you and I are going to work on those. Because what I want to do is, it's, for me, this is taking a step back and trying to figure out what kinds of things do we need to see in the Windows world, and what is that going to look like in our labs, and making sure we document all of that.
Well, the issue with me is not going to be so much that. It's going to be, I know pretty much what I want in my lab. I know I'm going to have a couple of workstations and some virtual machines with a Windows 10 machine in them, and then Server 2019. But I'm kind of having a little bit of a hard time wrapping my head around how to plan these labs because as I get into my videos, I'm not really going to know exactly what I need to put a lab together. I mean, beyond the basics, you get the workstations, join them to the domain and do that. You know, that's basic, how to create a user and how to do all of that. But I'm not really sure that I can plan my labs until I'm actually in the midst of going through the deeper videos.
Yeah. And one of the things that I want to do is take a look at best practice. What is the best practice for setting up a Windows domain? What's the best practice for Active Directory? What are some things we can do as best practice for Windows 10? And those are things that I don't know yet because I'm not really a Windows person. I can do a few things within Windows. I can add users to the domain and stuff like that. But when we talk about fancier domain configurations, what does that look like?
Well, see, and for me, the big question is not that. The big question is going to be, how do I know I have enough resources to do the labs that I want to do? And how do I figure out, how much of my resources am I using and how can I tell I'm running out? Those are things that, you know, that and the fact that, you know, when you're putting Windows 10 and Server 2019 and their trial copies, you know, eventually they're going to run out of time and we're going to have to start over. So how are we going to handle that?
Well, and that's one of the things that I want to focus on. And that's the reason why I want to take this time to look at the labs, including Windows, even though I'm not going to be doing a lot with the Windows things just yet, because I have some other security things I want to focus on. But how do we manage all of that? What's the process for that? Because we've talked about this before. Process, process, process. That helps you speed up things, right? So when we do our labs, if you have to think about how to install Server 2019 and Windows 10 and do the domain environment and all this other stuff, that takes time. And so you're going to be wasting time trying to figure those things out when you could have just had instructions built that tell you, here's how you do that. Here are the steps you take. Here's how you add users. Here's how you create your Active Directory environment. Here are the best practices for you to implement them within your domain environment. And you don't have to think about it, right? It's just something you do.
You know, let's say you're working for someone, and they're asking you to do a certain thing and you don't know if it's going to work or not. So you're going to want to do a lab. How do you, and this is something that for me, I would love to be able to have a lab. So when I'm working on something, you know, I want to make sure that I just do it first before implementing in a live environment. So how do you have things on deck? Do you know what I'm trying to ask? It's like, I don't want to be sitting in there saying, okay, you know, now I'm going to, like you were saying, have to figure out how to do a domain environment or how to do that. You know, we can have a process to do all that. But is there a way to just have a lab on standby that will not expire?
No.
Okay. So then when we create this process, one of the things that I would like to do is to create a process that doesn't take too long to kind of put the lab together. With the bare minimums, or with at least the, you know, what you need to be able to survive.
Well, and that's what I'm talking about. What does that look like? And how do we create a process around that? So it's sort of, you know, when you say, I want to test this, boom, done, ready to go. So what I want both of us to be thinking about is, what does that look like? What's the process involved? You know, how do we write this out so that step one, you do this, step two, you do this?
See, and I can't see a clear picture of, you know, when you're sitting in there saying, you know, we're going to do this, and I go, okay, I know I'm going to need a minimum of the two workstations and the server, and then figure out how to join that to the domain. You know, I can have instructions for doing that. And, you know, that's going to take a bit, but it shouldn't really take overly long, since they're going to be virtual machines. They're not going to have a lot of things in there. But to sit in there and have some sort of basic procedure to put a lab together at a moment's notice to be able to test something else, not just the basic installation and joining the workstations to the domain. I mean, that's not really, I'm not saying that that's not going to come up at work, but I'm saying if they give you something more complicated, what is the process that you go through to determine, okay, this is what I need on my lab, and this is how I put together. You know, I understand having the basics of how to put a basic lab together, but when it comes to somebody throwing a project at you, what kind of questions do you ask yourself to be able to come up with, this is the kind of lab that I need, and this, you know, and then put it together?
So that's something that you and I are going to have to sit down and talk about. We're going to have to figure out, you know, what does it take to do some of the things that we're talking about here? And it's always tricky when you're working in an environment where you say, okay, I want to take what we have or some of what we have and put that in a lab, right? So you and I are going to talk about that, because part of what we want to do is, and we've talked about this before, but we want to have something that's more enterprise-like. And that's why I'm thinking about getting us VMware Essentials. So we have vCenter and it's more enterprise-like. So when you walk into that enterprise environment and they say, hey, we have VMware, you know about vCenter, because vCenter is very different from standard ESXi, and the interface and trying to find things is way different. So those are some things that we want to take into consideration. And sometimes you're in situations where you just can't take what's in the production environment and create a lab out of that on your own. It's just not possible. So we'll have to take those into consideration. But let's talk about some of the security labs I'm going to be doing. So my main focus at this point, there are going to be some security tools I want to look at. I have to figure out what those are going to be. But one of my main focuses is going to be, the main focus is going to be Security Onion, probably. I haven't decided yet exactly what that's going to look like, but Security Onion and a few other tools like Sysmon, Deep Blue CLI, Nmap, and maybe a few other tools within
Wireshark.
These are things that I can focus on because they're relatively easy. Security Onion, not so much, but Sysmon, Deep Blue CLI, Wireshark, Nmap, those are easy to put together in a lab environment. And those are easy to create a process for. We don't have one yet, but if we were to do this, then we can start creating a process so that we can use them in production environments. Now, you're not going to cover every scenario when you do this, but it gives you some background in terms of how to use Wireshark, how to use Security Onion, how to use Nmap, how to use Sysmon with Deep Blue CLI, so that if somebody ever asks, you can say, yeah, I know how to use that. I've done that before. Now, one of the things I want to do for us is to figure out how do we implement Sysmon and Deep Blue CLI for us? Like if we were to have these things deployed on our Windows machines, what would that look like? You know, how would we do that? But it has to be in a lab environment first, so we can kind of get an idea of how that works and what's involved in setting all of that up. But the lab environment is going to be a list, or our documentation is going to be a list of, you know, VMs with, like you said, resources. So you have, you know, how much RAM are you going to give the VM? How many processors do you give that particular VM?
Well, we also need to do network diagrams of our labs so we don't step over each other.
Exactly. So we also have to have things like, the OS installation instructions, configuration instructions for different software. Where do we download the software from? So there's a lot of things that we need to do for that lab environment. And that brings us to what you said, which is our network diagrams. We want to have Visio for that. And we're going to transition from Lucidchart to Visio. So I need to make sure that I export all of our diagrams in Lucidchart into Visio diagrams so that we can use them with Visio. So one of the things you're going to do is you're going to take a look at the pricing for Visio. We're going to look at how we're going to install that, because we have Azure AD with Intune. And so what we want to try to do is figure out, how do I take Visio? How do I purchase that? How do I assign a license? And then how do I push that out to the users I want to have, or devices I want to have this on? So for example, my laptop, your laptop, the workstation I have, how do I get Visio onto all of those things instantaneously, right? The workstation is a little different because I don't believe Intune is going to work with my workstation, since the workstation was done differently. It's not an authorized device within Azure AD, meaning Azure AD doesn't control that device. I do log in with my local username and password. It does have access to 365, but it's not controlled by something like Intune or Endpoint Manager. So that's going to be a little different. I may want to change the way we manage that particular workstation so it is part of Azure AD and Intune, and we can just manage it that way. But it's going to be a learning experience for you because you've never used Visio. So we're going to have to find some videos, some way of for you to learn how to use that, and then we can start talking about how we're going to do the network diagrams. And along with that, we need to have standards so that, as we talked about before, my server icon matches your server icon, and your switch icon matches my switch icon, because if they're different, we may have to ask each other, hey, how do I read this thing?
Well, it's just like naming the computers. You got to be consistent and you got to be, you know, you want to make sure that you're able to identify whatever the icon means. You know, you need to identify your servers and your switches, and having different icons for different things just makes it more complicated. So I really think that getting a consistency somewhat of the process, whether it is a network diagram or whether it is the naming of the computer system, it's something that, you know, that needs to be addressed in the process.
Yeah, and when I worked for the ISP, which is now years and years ago, one of the things that they were doing was cleaning up their network diagrams, and so they were all matching. So they had a standard for, you know, which way the diagram went. Internet was on the right-hand side, inside network was on the left, and then we had certain icons or stencils for, you know, representing switches and routers and things like that. So there was a standard to that. And then we also had standards for connections between devices so that you could read what kind of a connection that was. Is it 1 gig? Is it 10 gig? Is it, you know, copper, fiber? Those were the kinds of things that we had in there. So we're going to have to come up with our own standard for that.
Yeah, something so simple just turned into a lot.
It is a lot.
And people don't realize that.
Yeah. So now let's talk about the project management side of things here. This is where I'm reading the book that we have for project management, and we have that process where we have goals, risk assessment, work breakdown structure, and that's where we begin to kind of brainstorm ideas on what are the big ticket items we have to do. So like for your Windows environment, your goal would be in the beginning to create a basic domain environment using Windows Server 2019 and Windows 10. And then you would have a risk assessment piece. We can leave that out because there's no risk, right? It's in a lab environment. So the work breakdown structure is going to have installing Server 2019.
No, wait. Risk assessment shouldn't be addressed?
It's a lab
environment. I understand that it's a lab environment, but wouldn't you want to take into consideration the risk assessment, you know, in a live environment? What is the worst thing that can happen if you put in a couple of workstations, join them to the domain and totally screw it up?
Well, in this case, the risk assessment is for this particular project.
So it'd be for the lab then?
Correct.
Okay.
And so in this case, you don't have any risks, really. I mean, what we are going to have to do is a risk assessment for the way in which we use the VMware environment together, because we're always going to be logging in and out of that thing, making changes, doing stuff, deleting things.
I guess for me, I would want to do a risk assessment on the deployment of the installations, because one of the things that I want to do in my lab is I want to create an answer file to answer all the installation questions. And, you know, it's one of the things I want to do.
Those things we will evaluate as we plan for those labs. So right now, what we want to do is just to have that idea that we're going to have a plan for a Windows domain environment. And that's it. And the risk of creating that lab, there isn't one because it's in a lab environment. Again, what we're going to have to do to make sure that when we use the lab environment together, you have your stuff, I have my stuff, we're accessing the system at the same time. What we want to do is we want to have a process in place that helps us avoid that situation where
deleting each other's machines or messing up each other's labs.
Exactly. We don't want to do that. So we're going to have to come up with something that helps us do that. But when we talk about the lab itself, there's no risk involved in that.
Okay.
And so you're going to have in your work breakdown structure, you're going to have things like, how do I install Server 2019? How do I install Windows 10? How do I configure a domain controller? How do I join Windows 10 to the domain? How do I add a user to Active Directory? How do I create an OU to organize my objects within Active Directory? How do I create group policies? How do I push those out to those devices and users? Those are some basic things that we need to have in there because it's not something I do every day. And you haven't really done a lot of that yet because it's all new to you. So I want to have all these things figured out ahead of time. And then what we're going to do with that basic plan is we're going to slowly begin to upgrade that as we add best practice and new things to it.
We can build on that, yeah.
Exactly. And so Those are things that we're going to be doing with our project management piece to all of this. And the ITIL process is going to help us, as I've said before, manage all of the things that we're doing. Because what I want people to understand and what we have to pay attention to is that we have our VMware environment with all of our stuff that we're going to be doing there, labs and testing and all of that. But we still have 365, we have our Fortinet equipment, we're accessing our VMware server over a VPN connection. We have, all of that has to be managed. We have our laptops, our workstations, all of that has to be managed on top of the fact that we're doing labs. So it's not all that straightforward because all these different things that we've done as a test became production environments. We did the Fortinet as a test. That's a production environment. We did 365 as a test. Well, that's a production environment. Your Windows environment now is going to be a test, but it could leak out into the actual world that we live in, and you could create your own domain environment with a server. Now, we talked about that and said, no, we don't want to do that. But things like that tend to happen, especially on the security side. When we do Security Onion, one of the things I'm looking for is, how would I deploy this in the real world? Can we use Security Onion at Section 9 to manage the security of our laptops and workstations? Is that possible? And one of the things I would like to try to do is see if we can't put Security Onion in DigitalOcean and then have all of our traffic not all of our traffic, but all the logs and some of the data that we have on our laptops and workstations be sent to Security Onion so that when we want to evaluate whether or not our systems are doing well or not, is there any evil on them? Security Onion is there to help us out with that. Maybe we use something like Velociraptor as our endpoint detection and response process or tool. So there's a lot of things that I'm talking about that are going to be in the future, but our VMware environment is going to be used to help us with that. And the project management piece has to be there because there's all these different things happening all at once, all these different things we have to manage, and then there's just two of us, right? So without some way of managing these things effectively, there's no way we could survive. There's just no way. And even when you look at your lab environment, you're going to have three or four servers or systems in there. You might have two server 2019s. You might have four or five Windows 10 machines. How do you manage all of that? How do you keep track of all of that? That's where your project management piece comes into play. So every single lab that you do, you have a diagram. You have a list of all the things you want to do in there. You have all your systems mapped out. It's all managed.
IP addresses.
Exactly. So that's something that we're going to have to figure out, and that's where that project management piece comes into play. So if we summarize here, we're waiting for parts for our VMware server. We're going to work on our labs. We're going to document a process for that. It's going to be super basic, but at least we have something so when our VMware server is working again, we just jump in and do stuff. And then we're going to look at project management, security, more stuff with VMware because we're looking at possibly getting VMware Essentials, so we have access to vCenter server. That's a lot. Can we do it? I think we can if we take the time to document things, have a process, and think about and plan for the kinds of things we want to have. And then again, that's where our project management piece comes into play. It helps us make sure that we're not missing too much. We're going to miss some things, but better to miss two or three than 10, 15, 20 things, right?
Well, 10, 15, 20 things, because you don't have a process and you don't know what you're missing.
Exactly. So any thoughts on all of this?
No, like I said, for me, the process, even of putting it together, is not real clear until I actually, I have my basics in mind of things that I want to do. And I'm curious about how you're going to help me with this to try to put it together and see what the result of it is. I mean, I'm excited. I just don't know. I don't see the picture yet, And only because I know some of the labs I want to do, but then there are going to be other things that I'm going to need. And for me, the big part is going to be how do I identify what I need in my lab to be able to make some of the things happen or to be able to test in my lab certain things. I may not know what I'm going to need to do, or I may not even know how to do it. And how do you go about researching something when you don't know what question to ask?
Yeah, but we'll get there. I think that's it for now. If you have any comments or questions, you can email us at support@section9.us. If you would like to look at our show notes, those are going to be on our website. And if you haven't subscribed to our podcast, please do so. And thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening.